The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. After he sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you, falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. As a spiritual director and priest for many years, one of my frequent and most common suggestions for us to become holy is to get in the habit of reading the lives of the saints. Try to read the lives of the saints. And it'd be a good idea to ask your spiritual director or confessor what you should read, because there's a lot out there. A lot out there. Because the saints are those who put into practice the gospel. They're the ones that incorporated, they put into practice the gospel. Put into practice what we might say the Beatitudes. John Paul II called Pier Giorgio Frassati the man of the Beatitudes when he was being beatified. So maybe I'm going to try to be audacious, but what I'd like to try to do, I'll try to do it as quickly as possible. Take each one of those Beatitudes and give you a saint for them. You're getting your notebooks, right? And also, Jacques Philippe actually wrote a book on this. Right, Virginia?
Yes.
Ready? Okay, blessed are the poor. There's a lot, but St. Francis would be, this is a Franciscan retreat. St. Francis really lived out poverty. And want to read a good life, probably Thomas Celano would be about the best book ever written on St. Francis. Thomas Celano. As well as St. Bonaventure, maybe another St. Bonaventure, was a Franciscan. He wrote the life of St. Francis. He's the one that followed St. Francis after Francis died. I can say so much, but just one idea is that Francis, he came from a very rich family. Both he and St. Clair were among the richest people in Assisi. St. Clair was very rich too. And Clair followed St. Francis, his example. How can they put it? Okay, Francis today, his father would be the head of Nordstrom's. Okay? So his father owned a very wealthy clothes company. This is 800 years ago. And Francis would dance, and he would dress in a dandy way, and then he was converted. So Francis embraced evangelical poverty. At the end of his life, he basically had nothing. He died in his mid-40s. He didn't live to be a very long life. He had the stigmata, okay? And some say that he was the one that most conformed himself to the life of Christ was St. Francis. Never a priest, but he was a deacon, okay? Never became a priest. He didn't feel worthy to be a priest, but he was a deacon. Do you know that? Okay. It's true that St. Francis loved nature, but he loved Jesus and the Eucharist even more than nature. Okay, so that's the first. Okay, blessed are those who mourn. Read the spiritual masterpiece, The Confessions of St. Augustine, which we encounter St. Monica. Some of you are thinking, I only heard about the St. Monica Freeway in L.A., okay? St. Monica had a rebellious son. His name was Augustine. She had a lot of problems. What we today called a dysfunctional family. Her husband was a louse. He was a drunkard. He was a womanizer. And he was very violent. And also, Monica had, as they say in Spanish, a chismosa mother-in-law, right? A gossipy mother-in-law. So she wept, and her son was converted. Her husband was converted. Even the gossipy mother-in-law was converted, no? A grand slam. Blessed are those who weep. Blessed are the meek. Sometimes it's translated as the patient, but patient are the meek. That's a virtue that most people don't understand. Meekness is not weakness, but powerful emotion under control. I repeat, meekness is not weakness, but powerful emotion under control. Now mention two saints. Saint Francis de Sales. There's a story that he was in his room at the end of his life. He was a bishop when he was in mid-30s. And he was known to be one of the most meek and holy people in France. He lived at the same time as Vincent de Paul. And Vincent de Paul said, if you want to see a reflection of Christ, look at Francis de Sales. He was in his room talking with a friend. Someone barged in and insulted his mother. And the guy got up and he slammed the door. And his friend said, why didn't you give it to him? Because he used to be a lawyer. And he said this, I did not want to lose in one minute what took me 40 years to acquire. 40 years to acquire that gentle meekness. Jesus, meek and humble of heart. Did you know that John Bosco founded a congregation? They're called the Bosconians, right? No. They're called the Salesians. Why? Because John Bosco admired Francis de Sales. Salesians. Okay? So John Bosco acquired meekness also, the meekness of the heart of Christ. Move on. Blessed are the pure of heart. Saint Maria Goretti. Have you heard of her? I visited her where she was killed more than once because I lived in Rome. She's buried in Nettuno, which is on the outskirts of Rome. She was stabbed 14 times. 11 in the stomach and 3 in the back. Because a young man wanted to rape her. And she said, no, it's a mortal sin and we could go to hell. She knew her catechism well. The end of her life, when she was dying, a priest came in and said, do you forgive Alessandro Serinelli? Yes, I have forgiven him. I want him to be with me in heaven one day. She was canonized in 1950. It was the biggest canonization in the history of the church. 250,000 people canonized by Pope Pius XII. The patron of young people and the patron of purity. Young people. Let's move on. Blessed are the peacemakers. Tell you one. It was the first life of a saint that I read as a teenager. Maybe you've heard of Saint Dominic Savio? Have you? Saint Dominic Savio, who was the prodigy of John Bosco. Remember reading his life, I was about 13. Written by Peter Lapin, which means Peter the Rabbit. A lot of wonderful stories. Also, his life was written by John Bosco. If we have any catechists here, read him. You have a lot of wonderful stories you can incorporate in teaching catechism. One of my favorites was when he was in the oratory there in Turin, two of the boys insulted the father. They hated each other. So they went out to the field and they were going to have a rock duel. Yep. So both of them had a pile of rocks with the intention of killing the other. Dominic Savio heard about this and he went in the midst of them and he lifted up the cross and said, now throw the rocks. They dropped the rocks and he said to them, come here. Drop the rocks. Shake hands and go to confession, and they obeyed him. Wow. Man. What an incredible saint for the young people. We've got these two young saints, but Dominic Savio, man. His motto for First Communion was death rather than sin. Morire antes di peccare in italiano. Then we have, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice or holiness. It can be interpreted in two ways. Justice or holiness. In a certain sense, all the saints that we celebrate, they all had a hunger and thirst for holiness. But I would mention the founder of Opus Dei. I'd mention him. Jose Maria Escrivá Balaguer. He founded Opus Dei in 1928, the day my dad was born, with the purpose of promoting holiness and sanctity among the lay people. Because before there was an erroneous idea that only the nuns, the monks, the bishops, the Trappists, only those can become the saints. Whereas the lay people, you're second-class citizens, no? Which, as I said last night, the universal call to holiness, if you want to go to heaven, you have to become a saint. Maybe not canonized, but at least anonymous. No? What does canonized mean? Not shot out of the canon, but rather placed in the canon of the Mass. No? Officially proclaimed by the Pope. Then we've arrived at, blessed are those who are persecuted. For me, that's the easiest one. Any martyr. The Mexicans have the cristeros, right? Jose Luis Sanchez del Rio, huh? Miguel Pro, Santo Toribio, Cristóbal Magallanes. Huh? There's a lot. One of my favorites, and only once in my life did I have the privilege of going to a canonization, it was his, 1980. Maximilian Kolbe. I was at his canonization. I was studying Rome. What a privilege. Hmm? You've heard of him, huh? I'd like to give you his philosophy of life. Listening? Yes. When you become a saint, three steps. You got to pray. You got to work. You have to suffer. Whether you like it or not, we have to pray. You can't find a saint that did not pray a lot. If you read any life of a saint, you're going to say the saint prayed a lot. For you lay people, Thomas More, have you heard of him? Thomas More would get up at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning and pray a couple hours. He was the most powerful statesman in the world. And he died during Henry VIII because he would not, he's a champion of conscience. Champion of conscience because everyone wanted him to give up. But he said, no, I cannot permit adultery. I can't permit it. So he was thrown in the Tower of London. Maybe some of you saw the movie, A Man for All Seasons, no? And he said, I have two kings, but my first king is God. And they cut his head off. Thomas More. So I think I did it pretty well. I'm able to give you a saint for every one of the Beatitudes. So let's pray to the saints that all of us will become saints. Because Jesus said, be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. Amen.